Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend as we continue to roll through the month of August. And, you know, not far off.
Correct.
Week and a half.
That's right.
September 1 arrives and dove season opens.
Have you renewed your license yet?
Not yet. I have been traveling, and we'll be talking about that in a bit, but we'll also be talking about how you can renew your license. But also, we're going to be visiting with Owen Fitzsimmons, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Webless Migratory Game Bird Program leader. We call him the Dove Guy.
There you go.
interesting insight that Owen's going to provide on our dove population across the Lone Star State and even beyond. And plus, as mentioned, we've got some news. Those hunting and fishing licenses are now on sale. They're going to expire at midnight, August 31st.
Uh-huh.
And you do not want to be caught.
No.
Without.
Nope.
So we'll give you some more insight on that as well. Plus, we've got the outdoor report, and we'll find out if Harold's been on or off the road. So y'all do stick around, and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And Harold, I know you've heard me say this before.
Oh, okay.
But I love doing shows.
Yes, I've heard you say that before.
I really do. And this weekend, we're
wrapping. Three in a row for you, right?
Yeah. And actually, four over a 5-week period.
Okay.
But this weekend, we wrap up the third edition of the 2021 Hunter's Extravaganza, and I tell you what, it's been so refreshing to see people. And folks, all three shows, we said this when we visited with Christina Pittman last week, has a different personality. You know, you've got your exhibitors that are at all three shows.
Right.
But then you have kind of the regional or those exhibitors that are saying, well, I want to target Houston or I want to target that Metroplex North Texas. But now we come to San Antonio, which is really changed. The demographics in San Antonio has changed. Not only just the core of the greater metropolitan area, but those people that have been able to come from around the state and other places and buy their little piece of country heaven.
Right.
You know, and you know what Central Texas is like.
Oh, boy.
I mean, even the San Antone Rodeo and Livestock Show has always been my favorite because it truly exemplifies ranching, you know.
Right.
You know.
The cowboy way.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's just really neat. So even if you have come to one of the other shows and are looking, I promise you there are exhibitors that will be in San Antonio that you've not seen before.
Right.
And it's, a great trip.
If you live within the Triangle, see, you can make all three of them. How was Fort Worth, though? How'd it go?
Fort Worth was good. Overall, the latest COVID scare, hype, maybe had some people didn't show up, but for the most part, it was a good show, great exhibitors, and the attendance was good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of those shuffle along because you were so crowded, you know. But that's okay. But I'm really this weekend we've already seen a good start, and it's going to be a great show. You said that you had something automotive?
Yeah, I did. I from Car and Driver magazine, because we know about there's a rash of people stealing catalytic converters. I just hadn't seen any numbers. And it came out from the National Insurance Crime Bureau, December 2020, 2,347 converters were stolen. And that's up from a year before when it was 578. It's the precious metals that are inside these things, and I didn't know these numbers either. One of them is rhodium that spiked recently at $30,000 per troy ounce. There's about $400 worth of rhodium in a catalytic converter.
Yeah, isn't that like the most precious metal that there is?
I thought it was unobtainium, but anyway, something like that. But anyhow, they use like usually it's two of them. You got your watch out with the getaway car, and then it helps jack up a car. The guy gets under it, uses a pipe cutter or a saw to get the converter out. And it takes, usually they said average about 3 minutes for them to do that. But they prefer vehicles with high ground clearances like certain F-250s, 350s, things like that, that they don't need a jack. I guess it's a skinny crook. But and also Priuses. Interesting, because since the engine runs intermittently, the converter is generally cleaner, and they get more for it. But this is what I hate about thieves. So they cut this thing off, and then they sell it, maybe $250 to some recycle guy who gets it up, gets enough stuff where he can start smelting the things down. And then the sad part is these metals are then refined, resold on the open market, reintroduced in the manufacturing supply chain, and sometimes winds up in a brand new catalytic converter. That's why they say this children is the circle of life with this thing. But the horrible part about it, especially if you get a brand new factory converter for a replacement, you're looking at a bill of about $3,000. If you can use a universal converter, you're still in the $400, $500 range to replace these things. So it's amazing, the numbers, and the numbers keep going up as far as thefts.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can electrify it some way, you know.
Hello.
On another automotive note, and I can't find the exact article. I saw it on my phone on the Fox News app earlier this week. But there was a couple that their wedding day arrived, and a storm moved through. And this was up in the Midwest somewhere, I believe, and knocked out power. Did you see it?
Yeah.
And they were driving like a hybrid F-150.
Well, it's the one that's got the
power converter in the back.
Yeah,
Well, they ran extension cords,
right?
Plugged it into 7.5 kW generator.
I don't remember. I should.
I mean, it's
and there's
it's
two different ones. There's a powerful one, and then there's even more powerful.
Yeah. Okay, and so they cranked things up. The music started playing, and everybody had a big time.
Right,
and I thought, and it actually mentioned how Ford had stepped up and some of those vehicles had helped people that were without power back during the Winter Festival,
yes.
You know, in February.
Yeah. Correct.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing because, and I should have it memorized because they got so many outlets, and it's more than one 110, and then the bigger version has also got a 220. And it's just amazing.
We mentioned hunting licenses are now on sale, hunting and fishing license. You should be buying the Super Combo.
I didn't mind online. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, yeah. And got those tickets of which we dare not speak. The drawing for the big time hunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Texas annually purchases 2.7 million hunting and fishing licenses. That's a pretty good number.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have it if you're going to go hunt. Dove season coming up.
Right.
You better be HIP certified, too. Mm-hmm. How'd they do that online?
It's just a Q&A.
Oh, just a Q&A?
How many numbers did you get? Did you get any? No, yes, whatever. Okay. No, it was very easy to do it online. It really was.
Okay. All right. Anyway, got to get it and get ready for, you know, for the upcoming hunting season.
Of course,
season.
The HIP thing, somebody's going, huh? But it's number of birds you got. You
right.
Know, like waterfowl and migratory and stuff like that is what it is.
Harvest Information Program.
Correct.
Right.
So, oh, that's what it is. Oh, I thought it was just cool, you know.
Yeah, right. What is cool is we're heading toward the wrap-up of the 2021 edition of the CCA Star Tournament. And, Harold, where are we on the red tag? That's the Texas Ford Dealers Red Tag Division.
Right.
The Haney boat, the Mercury motor, the Coastline trailer, and, of course, the Ford F-150.
Yep, absolutely. Right now, the total tag redfish caught. Oh, explain that now, Ron. Is it grab it, clip it, dump it? What's the terminology?
Catch it, clip it, and release. And
right.
You have got to release or you will not pass the polygraph test.
Right.
Even if it is belly up, do not save it going, well, they'll never know.
They will. Okay.
Yeah.
So far, seven have been caught. There are three winners. There are two pending those polygraph tests, and two are ineligible.
Huh. Three winners?
That's what it says here.
And I'm looking at their sheet that CCA has released.
The one I've got, because you've got this fellow here with an asterisk, so he's one of those on polygraph. That's what they
say. I'm seeing two winners and two pending. They're off somewhere.
Oops.
Okay, let's go to the blue tag division.
See what they do there.
You know,
and that's a boat, motor, trailer, right?
The Mowdy, the Mercury, and the Coastline. What do we have there?
14 caught, three winners, four runners up, seven ineligible.
Ouch.
The group gets bigger.
Yeah, the green tag for the Shoalwater boat, Mercury, and then that McLean trailer package.
Right. 13 have been caught, three winners, four runners up, and six ineligible. So the group therapy session keeps getting bigger.
This division is disappointing.
Yeah, it really is.
The Star Youth Scholarship Division. $30,000 scholarship, and we have...
one winner.
Yeah. All this time.
Young Andrew McRae. All this time. Yeah, that's... and they're out there, friends. I mean, they're swimming around out there waiting for you.
Absolutely. In the Hoffpower Offshore Division... Kingfish, good smoker there. How big is that fish?
Yeah, this division is back to the biggest one thing. So this kingfish right now, the leader is a 57-pound 12-ouncer.
Right. And Dorado?
That one is a 41-pound 3-ouncer.
And in our Ling or Cobia?
86 pounds. That's a whopper.
That's a good size, but still pales in the state record, you know.
Yeah, and well, you got 274s right behind it, you know. And then the red snapper, 20... what is, I can't see this. My glasses are 23 pounds?
21. 21,
oh, is it 21? 21.6. Mm-hmm. I'm having a tearing issue here. But anyway, 21.6 is the leader on that, Mark Hudson. So this just goes, what, through Labor Day weekend, right?
It goes through Labor Day Monday at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go fishing anytime between now and then, just sign up.
Just sign up.
Sign up online. It's real simple.
You want the insurance policy.
It is.
You don't want to be in the therapy session.
No. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to check on our best bets, outdoor report. We're going to see if Harold has been green or fuel.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck, 44 years running, is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, the trucks you need, the trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha-ha! But you're not going to see them celebrate these 44 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they build them today, and more importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 44 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
The granddaddy of all hunting shows returns to San Antonio, the 2021 Hunters Extravaganza, August 20th through the 22nd at the Freeman Coliseum Expo Hall. Bring the kids and see Gator Country's huge alligators and last season's bucks in our annual deer contest. Check out the latest in hunting gadgets and gear and enter our locked and loaded mega giveaway to win big. August 20th through the 22nd at the Freeman Coliseum Expo Hall. For details and tickets, go to huntersextravaganza.com, a Texas Trophy Hunters production.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Third Coast Thermal. Launched in 2015, Third Coast Thermal is owned and operated by a Christian family that is proud of the USA and is committed to providing professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Third Coast Thermal offers a variety of traditional high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. They also offer superior night vision and thermal imagery equipment, plus other hunting tools worthy of your consideration. When it comes time to invest in these hunting tools, the professionals at Third Coast Thermal will provide their analysis of products that will help assure a well-informed hunting investment's made. Coming up, we've got dove season. You know you're going to the leash. You know you're going to be out there. Mm-hmm. And at night, You know you want to do something.
That's right.
You know? So call Clifford Cheadle and the folks at Third Coast Thermal. Have them direct you to some great products. And let him explain to you about all of the observation thermal imagery equipment.
Right.
That seems to be a real big push right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can see it, Bluetooth it, you know, into something if you're driving around, mm-hmm. magnetically attaches, say, to the roof of your vehicle.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then just, let's take a closer look.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, Third Coast Thermal has satisfied customers all over the United States and will ship to your location for free. So go to their website, thirdcoastthermal.com, or give them a call at 832-827-4574. That's 832-827-4574.
Well, let us check the Texas Outdoors Journal Fishing and Hunting Times.
Okay.
This weekend, both Saturday and Sunday are our two best days of the week. Monday and Tuesday are rated as good. Wednesday and Thursday plunge to poor. But Friday rebounds to fair. Next Saturday and Sunday are two more good days. This weekend, look for game to be most active from mid to late morning and remaining active until mid to late afternoon. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from early afternoon until the evening hours before sunset. By Thursday, Friday, and next Saturday, times will have continued to adjust, with game actively feeding from mid-morning until the evening hours after sunset. Next Sunday, a major time shift occurs, with game beginning to feed from well before sunrise until mid-morning. This Sunday, August the 22nd, we will have a full moon on the coast. This weekend, as well as on Monday, there will be a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Tuesday is a three-tide day with two highs and one low. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will each have a double tide schedule. Next Saturday is another three tide day with two lows and one high. Next Sunday has a single tide schedule of one high and one low.
All right, staying on the coast, some good fishing has been taking place in really a variety of locations up and down the Texas and over in southwest Louisiana. Good catches of trout, redfish. One thing that I've noticed, Harold, this week is looking at radar, is there's been a bunch of rain up in the Metroplex, up in Dallas. What does that have to do with coastal fishing?
I don't know. What?
Well, you know, all that rain has to come down those rivers and impact the upper Texas coast area. So just monitor that. Monitor the lakes that are on those drainages. when you want to get out of the way, look at like West Galveston Bay. Get out of the flow and Chocolate Bay and Bayou, San Luis Pass, on over and toward Freeport, where you've got the Intracoastal and Christmas and Bastrop Bays. Good places to get out of the flow of freshwater coming downstream. Out of Freeport, on southward, the state water, Red Snapper, has been absolutely phenomenal. And that's true all the way down out of Port Mansfield, where, again, when conditions allow, when seas allow, you can get out and catch some really good fish. Back inshore, West Matagorda Bay continues to give up some good redfish, as does the upper Laguna Madre area. Then you've got some phenomenal tarpon fishing. Keep talking about Captain Brian Barrera,
right.
And the 100-pound fish. Well, one of our Texas Coastal 11 legends, Captain Cliff Webb, came down from Corpus Christi area and hooked up, I believe it was with four over 100-pound. He said it was the best day of tarpon fishing that he has ever had in his career. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And yeah, there's 100-pounders, but let me tell you, you tie in with a tarpon, you know, 2.5-3 foot on trout tackle.
Ah, there you go.
that's a rodeo for sure.
I imagine.
So, and then to wrap things up, the surf has been good again when conditions allow. Lots of good fishing to be had. What's going on in our lakes?
Well, let's head over to the eastern part of the state, Lake Conroe. Thermocline is hanging around 21 feet of water. Catfish are good in water depths of 12 to 20 feet. Fishing baited holes and range cubes. Black bass are good in 8 to 15 feet of water on structures such as rocks and tires using crankbaits. Texas rigs, wacky worms, and chatterbaits. Fork. Largemouth bass are good on topwaters and frogs early. Long Carolina rig, plastic worms, diving crankbaits, football jigs, working near roadbeds, timber, and brush piles is good. Crappie are good on minnows near brush piles, bridges, and timber. Livingston, white bass are good following shad in deeper water. Success around Pine Island, Dove Island, the Governor's Point's been reported. Crappie are good with jigs, working vegetation, and above some structures deeper than 10 feet. Sam Rayburn. The fish are still in the summer pattern, and fishing continues to improve. Largemouth bass are good on points and ledges using topwater frogs and in the grass lines using jigs. Tyler, black bass are good on flukes, football jigs, chatterbaits, and plastic worms near points, flats, and brush piles. Crappie are good on minnows and jigs in timber and brush piles. Palestine, largemouth bass are good working perch-like crankbaits, shaky head jigs, drop shots, and flukes working near the flats, brush piles, and points. Crappie are good on minnows around brush piles, docks, bridge columns, and timber. Richland Chambers. Crappie are good in minnows near bridge pilings, brush piles, and timber. Catfish are good on cut bait, punch bait, and chicken liver. Brim fishing is good with cut earthworms and live crickets. Tawakoni. White bass and hybrid stripers are good on swim bait, slabs, and live bait near the main lake channel, flats, drop-offs, and humps. Texoma, striped bass are good on live bait along the river channel with some topwater action at sunrise. Whitney, black bass are good on red or black Carolina rig plastic worms, crankbaits, spinners, and shaky head jigs near vegetation lines, timber, and rock ledges in 12 to 22 feet of water.
All right, let's head to South Texas out Del Rio Way where Big Friendly, Amistad Reservoir. Patterns are similar to last week with good bass fishing on the edges of vegetation in 12 to 15 feet of water using Texas rig worms, craws, and around the grass, drop shot and Ned rigs fished on primary and secondary points. Falcon, water's on the rise, slow but steady as recent rains have submerged some greenery along the banks. Trophy catfish can be found deeper waters during the day. And in the shallow flats early morning and late in the evening. Bass are good in channels on square bills early in the morning. Then they move out to 19 to 20 feet of water as the day heats up. Brownwood, bass are good with glow or green Texas rig plastic worms, chartreuse bladed spinners, and shaky head jigs near grass lines. OH ivy, largemouth bass, and white bass are great using half-inch pumpkin seed jigs for the white bass, and 10-inch power worms. That's kind of a standard there on ivy. Meredith, Want to do some Texas walleye fishing?
Okay.
Go to Meredith. Walleye fishing has been great in 30 to 50 feet of water, pulling crawler harnesses. Got anything in the hill country?
Yeah, something just hit me. I got to bring this up. I was having lunch at my happy place the other day. Normally, by myself, I sit up at the bar, and there's a group of regulars there. A couple of ladies were talking and got into what I was doing and mentioned the firearms articles and stuff like this. And she said she met a guy that ought to be a gun writer. And if anybody knows him out there, tell him, well, I love his name. Colt Remington.
Okay.
Good luck out there, Colt. Anyway, heading up the Big Lake Buchanan, striped bass are good along the river channel with live bait and top waters early in the day. Canyon, striper fishing is good along the river channel edge with live bait and trolling swim baits. Smallmouth bass are good on plastic grubs and small spoons along bluffs, rock ledges, and rocky shorelines. Travis, striper, the action is along the main river channel. It's good with live bait. Waco, largemouth bass are good on topwaters early in the day. Carolina rig plastic worms, shad-like crankbaits, and football jigs working the timber, creek ledges, and those rocky shorelines.
We mentioned it earlier in the program on the hunting side. We're 1.5 weeks until September 1st and the start of the 2021-2022 hunting season. Until then, through August 31, we still have a few days left of the 2020-2021 hunt.
Oh, okay.
Hunting, and that's in the south zone for javelina and in the open counties with no bag limit, year-round squirrel season. All right. Harold, has it been on or off the road this week?
I mean, mainly on, but it can handle a little off because it's all-wheel drive. But a great value, great ride, the 2021 Buick Encore GX Essence, four-wheel drive. It's a small luxury SUV, and they're building really, really great cars. This thing's got a neat little four-cylinder engine. It's putting out 155 horsepower, 174 pound-feet of torque, but just shockingly luxurious. Engine control, got that stop-start, which you can deactivate. It works, but I'm just not crazy about the stop-start. Four-wheel anti-lock brakes. It's got a brake wear indicator that'll show up. Hey, time to get these things checked. Nice stability control with the traction control system. Good filtration systems on this thing. Keyless entry, power outlets at 120 volts. Sirius XM, of course, everybody wants that. All the OnStar services, front and rear USB ports. Nice 10-way adjustable front seats with the lumbar support on it. Memory driver seats. Cargo security cover in the rear. Heated leather-wrapped steering wheel. Leather-appointed seats. Buick quiet tuning. And this thing it's a quiet ride. It's a great ride. Heated outside mirrors. LED headlamps, tail lamps, fog lamps. Roof rack. It's got a lot of good stuff. Automatic emergency braking, following distance indicator, forward collision alert, front pedestrian braking, intelligent auto high beam, and more. And this thing had some extra goodies, so their advanced technology package with surround vision and a heads-up display and adaptive cruise control, automatic parking assist, wireless charging, rear camera mirror, which you got to get used to. It's like looking at a TV screen. A lot of goodies on this thing. Base vehicle's 28. Loaded to the gills like this one was 34, and when you're getting 30 to miles to the gallon in town and 32 on the highway, it's a pretty good deal. Good ride, a lot of luxury, a lot of comfort. The 2021 Buick Encore GX Essence all-wheel drive.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a dove update. Owen Fitzsimmons, the dove guy, he's on his way.
All right.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough, the kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer, the ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloon tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997. We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with Vitamins and Minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. Told you about the Hunter's Extravaganza going on in San Antonio this weekend. The whole Fortified Cottonseed team is there.
Ah.
John Sewell, what a hoot that guy is. The 2017 Lone Star Land Steward Award winner mm-hmm. for the Harris Ranch.
Right.
Hunter Barrett is there. Rodney Barrett, his dad. You've got Justin and Klein Spear. You know, they're all there to help explain their story and help you grow bigger and better right. antlered animals.
Right.
It's just real simple.
Like I say, you got people now that's all they feed.
Oh.
No more corn, no more protein, just that.
Well, what came out of Houston, and you'll be hearing more about this, mm-hmm. 3-to-1 savings over protein.
Ah.
3-to-1 savings.
I like
okay.
that.
All right. For more information on Fortified Cottonseed blends, visit fortifiedcottonseed.com. Or give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. Harold, you know,
yep.
we call it the Winter Festival. We call it the Winter Storm, whatever it was
the
back
big,
in February.
The big
February.
Freeze. Yeah, I'm still paying for it. I've still got leaks at the ranch.
Yeah, but you know, critters make a living out in the outdoors.
Right.
And I visited with our guest few weeks ago when I was working on the September issue of Texas Outdoors Journal, and was amazed at the information he provided and the impact on dove, and we're going to share some of that with you. Owen, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Tell you what, right off the bat, you know, y'all have come out with your final blessed release on dove season. And when I started reading it and read some of your notes after our discussion, it just showed how big Texas is and the impact. Because why don't we start up in the panhandle with dove populations, and let's walk it all the way down into South Texas and the valley. What are your surveys showing?
Yeah, actually, I think last time you and I talked, I'd kind of done just the first round of a real quick preliminary analyses, but recently finished up kind of our final numbers. And, you know, if you go all the way back to February, we were kind of wondering how the storm might impact things. And, you know, I got a lot of reports of dead doves, and we weren't really sure what that might do to populations. But if you know, what our survey results show is if you start up in the panhandle and kind of work your way south, the further south you go, the better things look. The north zone as a whole is morning doves are down a little bit, probably – tough to put a number on it from east to west, but somewhere around 15% or so. Central zone is a little bit below average. And then the south zone for both species is looking really good, particularly morning doves. The I think I told you the white-winged doves were really, really high in the south zone. Well, that estimate, the final estimate's come down a little bit, but the mourning dove estimate is also still really, really high for the south zone. So, you know, as a whole, kind of that north to south gradient, you see more of that storm impact the further north you go.
Well, somebody's got to count. I always wonder how they do that. Well, there's blah, blah, blah. But you're looking at how many, what's the estimate on the number of birds, you know, actual numbers?
Well, statewide, our long-term average for mourning doves breeding population in the spring is about 26 million birds.
Ah.
This year, we're sitting at about 24, so we're okay. A little below average.
Yeah.
A lot of that is made up by the really high numbers in South Texas because we're below average everywhere else. White wings, the average is about 12 million, and we're sitting just about 12 million.
Well, after the winter storm passed, I mean, that didn't impact the nesting, and The nesting and recruitment actually helped offset some of the loss, didn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a few areas that, you know, it's just been such a weird year. It's August, and we're still getting rain in some parts of and flooding in some parts of the state. Everything's really green. So it's really kind of area-specific on what's been going on. But a lot of the areas, we've had really good reports of hatch year production, you know, and it doesn't take doves long to rebound from something like this. You know, a mourning dove can replace itself potentially, you know, four or five, six times in one breeding season with multiple broods. You know, but there's a few other areas that, you know, got hit really hard with spring storms that knocked back nesting a little bit. Some areas I think are a little too wet. You know, we've seen in conditions are when conditions are really, really wet, that kind of puts a damper on breeding season production. But overall, yeah, I think this has been such a long, extended, relatively cool wet summer that we've had a lot of good hatch year production this year.
Yeah, that's great, because obviously we were worried. Anyway, we need to pause on that because that's a positive note. We need to take our mid-show break, and we'll be back shortly with more Texas Outdoor News.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
At Capital Farm Credit, we want to be there for our ranchers and for the generations to come.
My name is Ron Brown. I'm a farmer rancher. Farm Credit has been there through the whole deal and been behind me through the whole deal. They've evolved with me. I mean, it's been a fun trip so far. Once you get in with them, they kind of stand behind you. They don't quit you when you're in a bind, or I wouldn't be here. I definitely would recommend Farm Credit to people. I have, and I would again.
Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Fish on! Sign up for the CCA Star Fishing Tournament and cast all summer for a chance to win over $1 million in scholarships and prizes. Reel in a new boat and truck when you catch a tagged redfish. Kids can catch a $30,000 scholarship. This year's tournament is catch and release with new categories and more tagged reds than ever. Check out the details at startournament.org. Sponsored by Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Whataburger, Haney Boats, and Mercury Marine.
We continue our conversation with Texas Parks and Wildlife Webless Migratory Game Bird Program Leader. We call him the Dove Guy, Owen Fitzsimmons. Owen, let's go back to this winter storm just briefly, because you mentioned there you got reports of some dead birds, but also not only here in Texas, but on up through the Midwest, because that storm impacted birds in that area. Frostbite that made them lose toes and beaks, but the birds are healthy? What's the deal there?
Yeah, so, you know, it's not real uncommon to see frostbite in northern birds when they come down. You know, sometimes they get caught in those really bad Midwestern storms, and they'll lose their extremities. But it is pretty uncommon to see that in breeding Texas birds. And, you know, thanks to the snowpocalypse, or whatever you want to call it, this February, particularly white wings. We're seeing a lot of missing toes, missing the ends of their beak, things like that. But most of the ones we've encountered that survived the storm, you know, despite missing some parts that you'd think are pretty critical, they seem fat and healthy.
Yeah, so they can continue to eat. That's amazing.
Yeah.
With maybe parts of their beak missing. Talked about the resiliency of these birds down in South Texas, which is where white wings started. And I know back in the 80s, there were some freezes that wiped out the citrus crop where they were nesting. And now they've expanded. How far do white wings expand? I mean, we've seen them in North Texas. How about over in the Piney Woods?
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely all over the Piney Woods. I was actually up there. You know, I grew up around Longview, and I was up there back in March for my dad's birthday. And I hadn't spent a night up there in a long time. And I woke up the next morning, walked out the front door, and all I saw was white wings and grackles. And I thought, man, this place has changed. But yeah, they're all over the state, and they're well beyond our state at this point. They're breeding as far north as Nebraska, Colorado. I think there was one sighted in New York this year, and I actually saw one on vacation in July in northwest Washington State.
Well, we've got three legal dove species that are regulated and that are considered migratory birds: mourning, white wing, and white tipped. But then we've got this invasive, the Eurasian collared dove. How is that impacting our native species?
Well, we know there's a lot of individual interactions that show that these collared doves are, you know, they're bigger, they're more aggressive, they can push birds out, you know, off a feeder, off a food site, they can push birds out of a nest site. But overall, you know, population level, we're not really seeing any impacts at this point. You know, there's a lot that remains to be studied, but really the one thing that we've kind of been keeping a closer eye on is just disease risk. These birds do carry some diseases that aren't as prevalent in our native birds. But, you know, so far it hasn't really been, haven't seen much of an impact at all, really.
From a regulatory standpoint, we can hunt Eurasian collared dove year-round, and we have limits on mourning, white wing, and white tip, but no limit on Eurasian collared dove, right?
That's right. Most people have kind of started calling them bonus birds at this point. The one thing I would say for hunters, if you do during dove season, well, even outside of dove season, if you do harvest collared doves, probably be a good idea to leave some plumage on there so the game warden knows what kind of doves those are.
Yeah, and is that they've changed it, I know, on pigs, but on those doves, though, it's still wise to have a hunting license?
Oh, yeah, absolutely have to have a hunting license.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I know that the feds and Parks and Wildlife do some banding of dove. Talk a little bit about that and what y'all are looking for and what hunters, if they happen to harvest a bird that has a band on it, what we should do.
Sure, yeah. Basically, every state in the country that has a mourning dove season bans mourning doves as part of a regulatory program with the Fish and Wildlife Service. Those bans and the subsequent returns that we get from hunters who report those bans, that's ultimately how we determine abundance of mourning dove populations at the national level, and ultimately how we set regulations, you know, season dates and bag limits. So it's very important that if anyone does come across a dove band, go to www.reportband.gov. That website is on the band itself. Report that ban, put the number in. You'll get a certificate showing where it was banded. And that information is really critical to how we manage these birds at the large level, at the national level.
I know that the Texas Dove Hunters Association bans some Eurasian collared dove and release those, trying to do their own study on movement of those birds. Anything come out of that yet?
I haven't heard much about that past couple of years. The guy that the head of the Dove Hunters Association, you guys know him well, I think, Bob Thornton.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to catch up with him lately. You know, Parks and Wildlife isn't really a part of that. That's kind of their own deal. But yeah, I haven't heard much from him lately.
I know that with the Texas Dove Hunters Association, they do have banded birds and need to be entered.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a variety of prizes that are available to help in that study. Your title, let's move from dove just a little bit to other species that are, you know, on your watch list. Webless Migratory Program Leader, Game Bird Program Leader. What else does that include?
So most of my time spent on doves, obviously, in Texas, but I also cover sandhill cranes, American woodcock, snipe, rails, and gallinules.
Okay, sandhill crane, the ribeye of the sky,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
I had a game warden friend, good guy, Leo Coaffel, mm-hmm. running buddy with my late father-in-law in Colorado County. And I used to ask Leo, I said, Leo, are those things any good to eat? Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, Bill, I guess if you put enough Jack Daniels down with them, you know, it'll be all right. He didn't want me to hunt them.
Because they are good.
They are good.
Yeah.
What are our sandhill crane numbers like? I mean, and are they expanding? Because they seem to be showing up in a variety of places, even though agricultural cultivation practices are changing.
Right, yeah. You know, the mid-continent population of sandhill cranes, which is the ones that come down the central flyway that we get in Texas, they're doing really, really well. I haven't actually heard the estimate from our surveys this spring yet, but the last 2 years that we did that survey, we had basically the highest numbers we've ever had. It's just under 1 million birds total in that population, so it seems to be doing really well. We do one big survey every spring in the North Platte River in Nebraska, where those birds stage before migration.
Right,
and that's kind of what we base everything on. But you know, sandhill crane hunting has exploded in Texas the past several years, and we're continuing to see an increase in interest, you know, in those birds and hunting, particularly up in the Panhandle and but even along the coast as well. It's turned into a real popular sport.
We always make a warning to folks. When whooping cranes start to fly south, yeah. You know, not to mistake a sandhill crane or a whooping crane for a sandhill crane. Make sure of your target. Owen, we are out of time. Your information is always insightful, and we appreciate you joining us today as our guest here on Texas Outdoor News.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Owen. Friends, we shall be back with more Texas Outdoor News.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause 6 types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12, and there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports, championing gun safety, education, and training, creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, looks like we got a bunch. We're getting back to business.
Yeah, I
got to
take a breath here. Okay, through Sunday, August 22nd, the Big Hunters Extravaganza in the Freeman Coliseum in Expo Hall in San Antonio. HuntersExtravaganza.com. August 26th, Southeast Chapter of Texas the Rocky Mountain Duck Foundation banquet in Beaumont. Visit rmef.org for information on that. August 26th, Whitesboro Chapter Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Whitesboro. Ducks.org. I love those simple websites. August 27th, Cross Timber Chapter National Wild Turkey Federation fundraiser in Decatur. NWTF.org. August 28th, Washington County Wild Turkey Fundraiser. Again, that same site. Go to one of those events in your Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 43 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Nothing is tougher than Ford's F-Series. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike Forage Oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike Forage Oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike Forage Oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike Forage Oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at PlotSpike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
The granddaddy of all hunting shows returns to San Antonio, the 2021 Hunters Extravaganza, August 20th through the 22nd at the Freeman Coliseum Expo Hall. Bring the kids and see Gator Country's huge alligators and last season's bucks in our annual deer contest. Check out the latest in hunting gadgets and gear and enter our locked and loaded mega giveaway to win big. August 20th through the 22nd at the Freeman Coliseum Expo Hall. For details and tickets, go to huntersextravaganza.com. A Texas Trophy Hunters production.
And Hybrid Light, they're the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News. They've got flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more. These products charge from USB cord or any light source, and miraculously they hold a charge for 7 years. And they can be used to charge your phone also. So right now for our friends out there, 20% off any of their products and free same-day shipping. Go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, that's 20% off anything. Free same-day shipping, hybridlight.com.
Want to thank our guest today, Texas Parks and Wildlife Dove Guy, Owen Fitzsimmons. One thing we want to mention, August 28th, the National Wild Turkey Federation Texas Calling Contest in Bryan, NWTF.org.
Very good. Okay, do remember that we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Check the website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com. There's a list of our wonderful stations, and the shows are archived there. You can also catch us on YouTube and Stitcher Smart Radio. Be safe out there.